This is Jay Sekulow. More outrages out of Planned Parenthood in Florida. Listen to these tapes.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
My name is Alisa LaPolt-Snow, and I'm here today representing the Florida Alliance of Planned Parenthood Affiliates. House Bill 1129 inserts politics where it does not belong. We do not believe that legislation should be created with the intent of coercing, shaming, or judging a woman or her position.
It's just really hard for me to even ask you this question because I'm almost in disbelief. If a baby is born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, what would Planned Parenthood want to have happen to that child that's struggling for life?
We believe that any decision that's made should be left up to the woman, her family, and the physician.
What happens in a situation where a baby is alive, breathing on a table, mm-hmm. moving? What do your physicians do at that point?
I do not have that information. I am not a physician. I'm not an abortion provider. So I do not have that information.
You stated that a baby born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, that decision should be left to the doctor and the family. Is that what you're saying?
That decision should be between the patient and the healthcare provider.
I think that at that point, the patient would be the child struggling on a table. Wouldn't you agree?
That's a very good question. I really don't know how to answer that.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So these are the people that Planned Parenthood puts forward to represent their entire Florida Alliance of Planned Parenthood. You just heard a snippet of the information. This is shocking because we have a federal Infant Born Alive Protection Act that if a child does survive the abortion procedure, they are the patient. But according to Planned Parenthood in Florida, I guess they just can't figure that out, and they've made these unbelievably outrageous statements and no take back. Planned Parenthood in Florida has not come out yet publicly and said, no, this statement was wrong. Of course, if the child survives the abortion, that child is now a patient and we do everything we can to save the life of the child. And they haven't said that, of course, because they don't believe that. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 and then ask yourself, why in the world are we funding Planned Parenthood with our taxpayer dollars? 1-800-684-3110 is our number if you want to talk to us on air. Jordan Thaner in our D.C. office. Jordan, let me go to you first, and Than. This is starting to get some national coverage. This should be grounds for the defunding of Planned Parenthood. This is the evidence. What's the latest?
Well, I think right here they have shown themselves something that we knew. I mean, we knew these Born Alive bills were controversial when it came to Planned Parenthood. They did not want them passed because, and this goes back to, remember, there was a lot of attention on President Obama when he was a state senator, and one of these came before the Illinois legislature, and he would not vote on it. And when you look at this testimony, and you realize this is one of their paid lobbyists, which means our money could be going towards this person. This person's paycheck is paid for by you and me, and they're saying why there should be no legislation protecting a living child already given the birth has happened. They are there, and it should be up to the doctor to decide what happens to this child. This is, again, folks, a step past the abortion procedures. It's out of the womb, delivered, and that child still has no rights then.
If the baby doesn't have rights at that point, Jordan, when does he get it? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a year old? But here's the thing. Since 2002, that baby has rights under federal law. Planned Parenthood, in open hearing in this Florida hearing room, admitted that they have been violating the law. That is reason enough to take away our $500 million of taxpayer funding from them.
You know, I'll tell you something right now. I'm going to play as we go to a break, folks. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. This is number four. This is Representative Davis talking to the representative from Planned Parenthood. You got to listen to this.
I understand that you're not a physician, but you do represent physicians who do perform this activity. Mm-hmm. And can you tell me what happens when a baby is alive on the table at that point? What do they do with the baby that is struggling to live?
I don't know. And as it's been referenced earlier, we don't know even how prevalent this situation is.
I don't know how else I can get an answer.
I'll tell you something, folks. This is why you don't want to fund Planned Parenthood. They need to be defunded. We need to fight them in court, which we're doing. We've got a petition on the life issue up at ACLJ.org. Or you call right now at 1-877-989-2255. You're hearing the evidence. We want to defund these groups. We want to stand strong against the HHS mandate. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge, the HHS mandate that forces employers to provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs in their insurance policies for employees, even if it violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed multiple lawsuits directly challenging this unprecedented attack on the religious and conscience rights of Americans. And the ACLJ is experiencing tremendous success. The ACLJ has a perfect record in obtaining court-ordered injunctions, putting the HHS mandate on hold while the issue is litigated. At the same time, the ACLJ is supporting other legal challenges by filing amicus briefs. Now you can join the legal fight too. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Stephen Curtis Chapman.
I'm Michael W. Smith.
Hey, what's up? I'm Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
I'm Kevin Max of Audio Adrenaline.
I'm Toby Mack.
This is John Foreman from Switchfoot, urging you to sign the petition to free Saeed Abedini.
Would you join us as we petition and pray?
Help us share his story.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Join me as we petition and pray for the release of Pastor Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. SaveSaeed.org.
So Planned Parenthood, again, in trouble, as they should be. This time, we've got, by the way, HHS just gave Planned Parenthood, ready for this one, $2,388,950. This is in addition to the, half $1 billion they already get. This is just for the one in Florida. And this Florida Alliance of Planned Parenthood is the one in the center of the controversy, where they're saying if the child is born alive during a botched abortion, as they called it, well, that child has no rights, and is certainly not the patient. So we're fighting back on this, folks, and we're going to be playing this question and answer in this testimony for you. But I want to, again, urge you to do something here. We've got a petition that is up, or a committee that's up right now at aclj.org. We are winning against Planned Parenthood, against the HHS and their abortion pill mandate. And as Jordan said, we're funding all of this. We're funding this woman's salary with the money that we give through taxpayer dollars to make these outrageous statements about the unborn child, or then the born child, born alive, not entitled to any rights either. And we're fighting back, so we're opposing them in court, which is the place to do it. We're 6-0. We've won six cases against them, lost none right now, and we're fighting back. 142,000 of you have joined with us. We want to encourage more of you to join with us. If you don't want your taxpayer dollars going to groups like Planned Parenthood, if you oppose the abortion pill mandates, if you want to defend religious liberty and make sure that these groups are not getting money, and you hear what they're doing and what they're saying, then I encourage you to go to aclj.org or call us at 877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. And I urge you to call us today and add your name and stand with us, folks. Another $2.5 million going to the local Planned Parenthood in Orlando. They're getting money when their representatives are up on in Tallahassee testifying. Listen to number 7.
Does Planned Parenthood have an objection to a doctor being obligated to provide advanced life support in an abortion clinic setting to a child born alive? I mean, I guess you do, or you wouldn't be here, right?
Let me just pause and say where our opposition remains. Okay, maybe that can answer some questions. We have serious concerns about the surrender wording in this. The second piece is, as you all discussed earlier, was the transport to the hospital.
They don't want to transport to the hospital. They don't want to surrender, meaning giving life support to the unborn child, the now born alive child. They don't even want to do that. And we're funding them with our taxpayer dollars, and the Obama administration is in lockstep with them. Folks, it's time to fight back. And by the way, that Congress, that member of the Florida Senate, he's a Democrat. Listen to the follow-up, number 8.
What objection could you possibly have to to obligate a doctor to transport a child born alive to a hospital where it seems to me they would be most likely to be able to survive.
What about those, and I'm just speaking out loud here, what about those situations where it's in a rural healthcare setting, the hospital is 45 minutes, an hour away, that's closest trauma center, emergency room. There's just some logistical issues involved that we've got some concerns about.
Well, the doctor could administer support while the ambulance is coming. They don't want to do that, though. So, folks, I'm asking you this question. As we get ready to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, we're playing for you the evidence of what's going on here with Planned Parenthood. At the same time, it is Planned Parenthood that is the primary focus and funder and passion presenter of Obamacare. Jordan, remember all of those discussions, then as well. Oh, it's not about abortion. At the end of the day, this was about, in their view, reproductive choice. And the president said he believed reproductive choice is core medical support. That was his great vision for how healthcare should be done. He had that view that you basically abortion care and reproductive care is we've got it right here. This is the president's own words, folks. Listen to what he says.
In my mind, reproductive care is essential care. It is basic care. And so it is at the center and at the heart of the plan that I've proposed.
And that is the now Obamacare law. And now you're hearing from Planned Parenthood themselves and the positions they're advocating. And I ask you this question. Are you ready to fight back and dismantle this Obamacare one by one, piece by piece? That's what we're doing. And so far, we're 6-0, by God's grace. Six cases we've litigated, six victories. We have a seventh case we haven't had a decision on yet. But we just got the D.C. Court of Appeals to overturn themselves. They reversed themselves. If you want to stand with us on this and add your name, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org. Or 877-989-2255. Jordan, let's go take some phone calls.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Marcelo calling from California online too. Marcelo, welcome to Jay Sekio Live.
Hi, Marcelo.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Jordan. You know what? This is really disturbing to me. I can't believe that a child doesn't have any rights. I mean, what is the difference between murder and this when a child is born? I mean,
it is murder. And look, the Infant Born Alive Protection Act protects the child, but it would be murder. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Let me play for you, and this is really important here, and I think this will tie right into it. I want the position of Planned Parenthood to be crystal clear, number two.
It's just really hard for me to even ask you this question because I'm almost in disbelief. If a baby is born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, what would Planned Parenthood want to have happen to that child that's struggling for life?
We believe that any decision that's made should be left up to the woman, her family, and the physician.
Well, there you have it. How much clearer could it be than that? Now, let me ask Jordan and Than this. We have had attempts to defund Planned Parenthood. We're litigating the Obamacare cases in court. Planned Parenthood clearly on the other side of this. We're beating the Obama administration. But this should be the evidence to undo Planned Parenthood once and for all, at least from a federal funding standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, this should be enough for any member of Congress. You know, it should even go past the abortion debate. I mean, this is an organization which is promoting and supporting infanticide. I mean, this is post-birth murder on the delivery room. In the delivery room, a baby out of the womb, alive, breathing air, breathing oxygen on this earth, not in the womb. And yet they believe this. That what she is saying is that the doctor should be able to kill that baby if they want to. Or that the mother can say, you know what, I still want that abortion, kill it. And it has no rights. So Planned Parenthood gets to determine when rights exist. Well, I mean, unfortunately, that's how we've allowed them to exist. Because we keep funding. You know, we pay for this person. We pay for this lobbyist who's testifying in Florida and giving these kind of answers, Dad. And I think that is what's outrageous. When people say, well, we can't use the money for abortion. No, you get to use the money to pay for your lobbyist to support killing babies after they were born. I mean, that's the truth. All of us could have our taxpayer dollars, do have our taxpayer dollars, going to fund this organization.
Than, let's talk about the funding here because this is the outrage of all of this. I know there's been attempts. What's the latest on this? They're getting an awful lot of money, and the Obama administration is heaping more on them. In Florida, of all places, right now they just gave almost $2.5 million just to the Orlando, Florida Planned Parenthood.
The bottom line is, Jay, the Obama administration and the Democrat-controlled Senate have stood in the way of those defunding efforts. They continue to get $542 million of taxpayer funding each and every year. And here, I really think the audio that you're playing is going to renew this effort, because think about this. It does not matter what Planned Parenthood believes. It is federal law that should control here, and it is clear that they are violating that. So I think this week we go back to the Congress, we use this as evidence, and we say, listen, even though those of you who think that they should have got funding in the past, they are violating federal law. It has got to stop now.
Let me play for you. This is number 8 and number 9. This is from a member of the Florida House. His name is Mike Cleland. He is a Democrat. You need to listen to carefully what he says. He is not in the pro-life caucus. To the contrary, he's pro-choice. I want you to listen to what he calls pro-choice. I'd say pro-abortion, but he'll say pro-choice. But listen to what he says. This is a member of the House in Florida who is not pro-life. The issue is the infant is born alive, survives the botched abortion. What do you do with the child? And listen to the response again of Planned Parenthood, 8 and 9.
What objection could you possibly have to obligate a doctor to transport a child born alive to a hospital where it seems to me they would be most likely to be able to survive?
What about those, and I'm just speaking out loud here, what about those situations where it's in a rural healthcare setting, the hospital is 45 minutes, an hour away, that's closest trauma center, emergency room. There's just some logistical issues involved that we've got some concerns about.
Boy, I've been pro-choice my whole life, and I can't think of a more sensible bill in this regard. So I'll cut it short, and I'll support the bill.
You see how you realize the outrage even among those in the, quote, pro-choice camp. But, folks, this is a child that survives the abortion. And Planned Parenthood's taking our money to support this position. And Kathleen Sebelius just gave the Orlando, Florida, and this is out of Florida, Planned Parenthood, an additional almost $5 million. Now, I got to ask myself this question. Why in the world, forget sequestration, why in the world are we giving these people a nickel? If this was any other organization, they'd be investigated. But they're not. Why? Because they're Planned Parenthood. Well, you know what we're going to do? Beat them in the courtroom. And then we're going to have Fan take this to evidence. I'm going to get our media team put together a video on this. Folks, we're not going to let this issue go away. We're fighting back. We're winning in court. This is where you come in. Join our committee. Say no to all this nonsense. Stand with us as we go to court defending the life of the unborn and winning. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Everybody that's listening to us right now, you go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or you call right now and add your name to this committee. We're fighting back and winning in court, folks. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge, the HHS mandate that forces employers to provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs in their insurance policies for employees, even if it violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed multiple lawsuits directly challenging this unprecedented attack on the religious and conscience rights of Americans. And the ACLJ is experiencing tremendous success. The ACLJ has a perfect record in obtaining court-ordered injunctions, putting the HHS mandate on hold while the issue is litigated. At the same time, the ACLJ is supporting other legal challenges by filing amicus briefs. Now you can join the legal fight too. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs. Call 1-877-877-877-877. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're our media team's working on getting this video. We're going to get it out. We're going to do a TV special on this. This is outrageous. Whenever I get the evidence, we like to present it. Than pointed out during the break that if you listen to question four, where Representative Daniel Davis from Florida asks about not understanding why a physician just wouldn't provide help to the child that survives the abortion, and the woman's response from Planned Parenthood as well, it doesn't happen often. And then we've got an Ohio woman is suing an abortion clinic after she said she was made the painful decision to terminate her pregnancy because her life was in danger, only to discover she was still pregnant after the procedure. And this is a Northeast clinic. Here, I mean, it goes on to this kind of situation exactly. And then you ask yourself this question, why in the world would we be funding these people? But we are, and that's why we're fighting back so aggressively. If you've not yet signed on to our committee, which is over 142,000, folks, the way to win is both in the halls of Congress and in court. Now, Than said we're going to take this evidence, we're going to go back to Congress. But we're in court against groups like Planned Parenthood right now, today. We're in court against Planned Parenthood. The Obama administration's in lockstep. This video that is now out is outrageous. Outrageous. You got pro-abortion members of the Florida legislature saying this is ridiculous, what Planned Parenthood is proposing. Yet today, they were awarded $2.5 million to the Florida Planned Parenthood in Orlando when this evidence is out today. And they still get, the Obama administration still gives them $2.5 million. I know some of you are listening saying, well, I supported President Obama and it's not just about abortion. Well, it's not just about abortion. This is about murder. That's what it is. The child survives the abortion, which I think the abortion itself is murder, but the child survives the abortion is on the table. I want you to picture this, folks. Is on the table struggling for life, and the doctor does nothing, or the doctor terminates the pregnancy? Nope. Pregnancy's already been terminated. Their problem is, and I put problem in quotes, the baby survived. So now what do they do? Well, Planned Parenthood wants to do nothing. They will not even agree to a bill that says that child gets immediate medical attention and is transported to a facility where they can struggle for life. And you and I are paying for this nonsense. So if you want to object to it, which I think you do, join us at aclj.org or call right now at 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's go back to the phones.
Yeah, back to the phones. We go James in Oklahoma on line one. James, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, James. James, you're on the air.
I'm here with you.
We can't hear you, James. I'll tell you what, you're either on a speakerphone or you're listening on something else. Can you pick up your phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
There we go. Go ahead.
Okay, well, we got to not miss the bigger picture here. This is small, even though it's very huge. It's small. They're trying to get this not funded or not passed so that they can go to the next step, which is baby's born, parents aren't happy with the way it looks or whatever, and they can simply just terminate at that
point. That's why I don't think this is small, because this is that. I mean, understand what this really is. The child survives the abortion attempt, and they're saying they don't have to do anything for that child on the table, struggling, breathing. So, I mean, I don't think you have to go another step. I mean, I call it murder. Funded by you and me. We're paying for this nonsense, this outrage. And, you know, Jordan and Than, this is the time to take this to Capitol Hill. I mean, I know that beating Planned Parenthood back in Washington is tough because it's such a powerful lobby. But this is unbelievable. If this was any other type of group, they would be in serious, serious investigation. The Florida Attorney General should be all over this if this is the practice of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And honestly, folks, this is what we are funding. I mean, this is what I think is so outrageous. Not only are they promoting this, which, by the way, why is this promoting murder? Why isn't this a crime? I mean, in a sense that you were saying kill babies. I mean, think about that. I mean, there are laws on the books. Now, of course, they're against them about, you know, if you kill a pregnant woman and if it's drunk driving and things like that, or violent crime and being charged with a double murder. And of course, I guess Planned Parenthood would have to oppose all of that, because at the end of the day, if it's not a life in the womb, and then it's not a life out of the womb on the delivery table, and it's up to a doctor. I mean, when have we allowed that in the United States of America? We allow a doctor and another person at this point to decide who lives and dies. They get to decide who lives and dies when it comes to a baby. I mean, this is not someone who signed a waiver. This baby is not signed a form saying, you know, if I'm unconscious, you can take the life support away from me. I don't want to keep on that. Okay, that's different. Doesn't have a living will. This is a baby that was just born, and it's up to a doctor and a mother who were trying to abort it to get to make that decision.
Yeah, you know, the irony here, of course, is the oath that they take is to first do no harm. Now, Fan, let's talk about legislatively what can be done here, because then I want to read about folks about what's happened in this Ohio case, which is unbelievable. But what can be done legislatively here? Because this is really, really sickening.
Yeah, well, legislatively, Jay, the easiest thing to do, the most important thing to do is take away their funding. This is an effort that Mike Pence from Indiana used to lead, and now Diane Black and Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee are out front on it now. But here's what I think the game changer is. We've known for a long time that they want to keep abortion legal, but here's what this changes, Jay. They are now admitting that they are violating the law, and the United States Congress has an obligation to not fund institutions that are breaking the law, and that's what this is. So I think this is a game changer in getting that legislation across the goal. We do have a hurdle in the United States Senate and with the President of the United States, but the first step, Jay, is in the United States House of Representatives getting that legislation across the table and moving it over to the United States Senate.
So an Ohio woman is suing an abortion clinic after she says she was made the painful decision to terminate her pregnancy, this according to Fox News, because her life was in danger, only to discover that she was still pregnant after the procedure. A Northeast Ohio abortion clinic has denied its filings, and the allegations that their doctor was negligent, they deny that. The child was born healthy, by the way, eventually leading to the birth of her healthy baby daughter. So both she survived and the baby daughter survived. Now, here's the irony. In Florida, I guess, the position of Planned Parenthood would be if that child was born, well, just let it, you know, die. And why should we be shocked? In reality, why should we be shocked at this? What's shocking, though, is that they are so brazen in the way they say it. So again, so you hear the evidence. I am going to play for you again what is taking place there. Listen to number three.
What happens in a situation where a baby is alive, breathing on a table, moving? What do your physicians do at that point?
I do not have that information. I am not a physician. I'm not an abortion provider. So I do not have that information.
I understand that you're not a physician, but you do represent physicians who do perform this activity. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what happens when a baby is alive on the table at that point? What do they do with the baby that is struggling to live?
I don't know, and as it's been referenced earlier, you know, we don't know even how prevalent this situation is.
I don't know how else I can get an answer.
Well, the answer was, well, we believe that any decision that's made should be left up to the woman, her family, and the physician. That's what they answered. So, folks, here's what we're asking you to do is we take more of your calls when we come back from the break at 800-684-3110. We've got a committee up right now to oppose what the Obama administration is doing, opposing what Planned Parenthood is doing, opposing this abortion pill mandate. We're over 142,000 signatures to this petition. Now, we're also winning. This is really a committee to defend life, a committee to oppose the abortion pill mandate. We're winning in court. Six cases litigated, six victories. We're beating Planned Parenthood. We're beating the Department of Justice in federal court. But this is where you come in. I need your help. I need you to stand with us. I want to get to 200,000 members of this committee. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org to sign on to this committee, standing up for life, standing up for religious liberty, for these unborn children, and for these born children, born alive. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. That's 1-877-989-2255.
The ACLJ has a perfect record in obtaining court-ordered injunctions, putting the HHS mandate on hold while the issue is litigated. At the same time, the ACLJ is supporting other legal challenges by filing amicus briefs. Now you can join the legal fight too. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Planned Parenthood, their job is very clear. They're making it clear by the moment, I might add, and that is destroying life. That's their business. You know, we've often said, Pat Monahan coined this, that Planned Parenthood worships at the altar of abortion, and boy, is that becoming prevalent and clear. As we look at this evidence, we're going to get this out on video too, folks. But let me also say this right here at the outset. We want to make sure that your voice is heard on this. So join us at ACLJ.org or sign the committee at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Let's go right to the phones. We had a lot of people been holding a long time. We've had a lot of information we've had to cover. We apologize for some of you having to wait so long. Let's go to the next call, Jordan.
Chris in New York, line 3. Chris, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing?
Good. Yeah. You're on the air.
What do you say about this? This is just unbelievable. I mean, I'm a Christian, man, and if this isn't a sign of the end, there isn't any, because they're such hypocrites. How can you charge somebody with a double murder for you know, killing somebody that was pregnant,
right,
and then turn around and do the same exact thing to a baby that comes out of the womb and is born?
It's called the abortion distortion factor. All the rules change when it involves abortion, and that's exactly what happens in that situation. You're right. Most states, if a pregnant woman is killed in the act of a crime, a homicide, it's a double murder. But not when Planned Parenthood lets the baby be born alive and then says, "Well, we're not going to do anything." So you're right. Hypocrisy. Yeah, you got it. But we can't just talk about it, Chris. What we got to do is take action, and we're doing exactly that. At the ACLJ with the help of a lot of our friends and members, and we're fighting back really, really strong. Folks, God has been very good. We've won 6 cases, several at the Court of Appeals, on this HHS mandate. We're dismantling Obamacare step by step. Let's go to another call, Jordan.
Yep, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Bob in Oregon, line 4. Bob, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. So appreciate what you guys are doing for the unborn
and the born.
Causes around the world.
Yeah,
the born and the unborn. You know, it brings up 2 things to me. One is that I remember hearing from a physician that children or babies that are actually 27 weeks old, they're viable outside the womb.
Oh, they do surgery on them at 19 and 20 weeks now. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, they're viable outside the womb. That's considered infanticide. Even calling that an abortion is a misnomer.
Yeah, well, I completely agree with you. The problem is here, we're dealing with infants that are born alive. Which then there is legislation that says you cannot do that. You cannot let that child just die.
Yeah, we have a disagreement, you know, before birth on whether or not that should be infanticide. And, of course, we think it is. But
absolutely,
after the baby is on the table, the federal law says that you must provide care for that child. It's been in law for 10 years. So, yes, prosecution of Planned Parenthood should take place in that case. But, Jay, even more fundamentally, it's clear proof that we shouldn't fund them. So not only do they not get prosecuted, they get funded by the taxpayer.
Yeah, folks, I'm telling you, this week on this broadcast, you're hearing the evidence. And Jordan, as we get ready to take a break, we've got something coming up very special here, folks. We're going to be changing topics for a moment, but you need to hear this. Unbelievable interviews with 2 Iranian women that survived the Evin prison. Jordan, give us a little bit of a sense of what's coming.
Yeah, Mariam and Marziam both spent 259 days together in Evin prison in Tehran because they were Christians. It's the same prison Saeed Abedini is in now. They know Saeed. They know Nagma Abedini. They wrote a book about it. It's out today called Captive in Iran, and they'll be joining us in coming up next on the broadcast to talk about their how they became Christians. They both were converts, and what they did to end up in Evin prison, what it was like there, and writing about the experience as well and staying strong with their faith. Very similar to a lot of the language we hear out of Saeed from those letters about how they use that experience for their faith. They're coming up next here on JSEC Live.
All right, folks, you're going to want to stay tuned to that. Again, if you have not yet signed on, with 142,000 people are saying, yes, Jay, we're going to court with you, and we want to win and beat back Planned Parenthood, the HHS mandate, the Obama administration, and Planned Parenthood, do so at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And folks, when you're at the website, make an online gift. We're in a matching challenge. So we encourage you to support the work with your tax-deductible gift to the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge, the HHS mandate that forces employers to provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs in their insurance policies for employees, even if it violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed multiple lawsuits directly challenging this unprecedented attack on the religious and conscience rights of Americans. And the ACLJ is experiencing tremendous success. The ACLJ has a perfect record in obtaining court-ordered injunctions, putting the HHS mandate on hold while the issue is litigated. At the same time, the ACLJ is supporting other legal challenges by filing amicus briefs. Now you can join the legal fight too. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, folks. This is Jordan Seculo. A new book is out today, and we're honored to have the authors of the book joining us. If you've been following the story of Saeed Abedini, who is imprisoned in Evin Prison in Tehran and has been since September because of his Christian faith, and this is a book that could not have come out at a more important time for all of you. The book is called Captive in Iran. It's captiveiniran.com. You can get the book everywhere now today. And we have with us the authors who spent over 200 days in Evin prison because of their Christian faith. And this was back in 2009, so a very current account of what this was like to go through both their faith and how they got to that point, what it was like, and today as well. And you know how brave and strong you have to be to write about that kind of an experience. Mariam and Marzia are joining us now. They are the authors of Captive in Iran, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
A first question, and either of you can answer, or both of you can. And I know the book, I got an early copy of the book and read through it, and you both tell your stories from your own perspective, which is a very interesting way to see how you were seeing the experience each day. But tell everybody listening now who's been following the Christian persecution in Iran and following Saeed Abedini's situation in the same prison where you were imprisoned, how you became Christians.
This is Mariam. I converted to Christianity 14 years ago. And, you know, since I was a young child, I always sought to learn more about God and build a more personal relationship with Him. And my heart and my soul were always thirsty to find out more about God and to find out the truths about Him. And, you know, we both grew up in a country, Iran, in a country where religious laws and regulations always stop people from knowing the truth. And it starts exactly from childhood. For example, at the schools, students were forced to read the Quran or other Islamic books or pray namaz that is in Arabic. But I remember I had always many questions about Islam and its rules. For example, I had never understood why I had to talk to him in a language which I didn't even know its meaning, I mean Arabic. And I had many other questions which made me more confused and frustrated. But to make the story short, one day I received a booklet from my sister. It was a part of Book of Luke, and it was titled, His Name is Wonderful. After reading that book, I was alone in my room, and through reading the book, I had a personal experience with Jesus. I met with Jesus, and after 3-4 hours being in my room alone, I could completely feel that my heart was profoundly touched by Jesus' love. And I gave my heart to Jesus without any doubt or second thought after reading the book. And, you know, I always tell people that Jesus himself witnessed and delivered to me the good news of salvation. even before I had gone to church or had spoken to anyone about him.
Mm. You know, we've heard that story before, that people in these situations, in places where it's so hard to access, it's tough for Americans. You know, many Americans, they hear these stories. It's tough to understand and fully just imagine what it's like to not have access to the scripture, to not have access to church. And let me go to Marzia, because you ended up in Turkey and met each other there, going to Bible school, leaving Iran, going to Bible school, and tell people about that experience. I mean, this is all in the book. The book is Captive in Iran. It is out today, folks, and I encourage you to get this. If you have got involved with Saeed Abedini, this is a book that walks you through what it's like, because we'll get to that in a moment. But both of them were arrested and then imprisoned in Evin prison in Tehran, where Pastor Saeed is right now as we speak. So, Marzia, tell us about that. Tell us about the Bible school, the training, and what you were prepared to do to go back into Iran.
Yes. Mariam and I, we went to Turkey in 2005 for studying theology in Turkey. And we were there for about 7 months. We studied theology. We were eager to know more about Bible. And we had this passion in our hearts for serving Iranian people. And after finishing our theology courses, we both returned to Iran, and we had planned to serve Iranian people. And we just pray and ask God to show us how we can serve Iranian people. And you know, in Iran, people cannot find the real version of Bible, and there is just a false and distorted version of Bible. And that's why we prayed and asked God to show us, to give us a vision. And we both had this passion to talk to people, evangelize Iranian people. And that's why we distributed, for 2 years, we distributed about 20,000 New Testaments in Tehran and a few other cities. And also we had two house churches for young people in our apartment, and also for prostitutes. And every day we were evangelizing people, talking to them about Jesus. Whenever we went for shopping, eating at restaurant or doing our chores, we were talking to people and handing them a Bible as a gift. And all these activities, as you know, it's illegal in Iran.
So you were handing out the Bibles. You were living together at the time and going about the ministry work you were doing. Knew some of the risk and tell people, because this was the story surrounding your arrest. I think it goes to the extent of which the regime in Iran will go to stop Christians, but also to trick. And it shows how much thought is going into stopping any kind of spread of the gospel whatsoever. So we'll go back to Mariam. Mariam, tell people what happened that day. I thought it was an amazing story. I know you go into much more detail in Captive in Iran and the story of your faith and how you became Christians and getting to this point. But to me, the fact that the regime put that much thought into tricking both of you, really, into ending up in this situation and then interrogating you, tell people about that.
Yes. The day we got arrested, early in the morning, Maggie received a phone call from a stranger, and he had some questions about her car documents. He asked her to go to the police station and ask some questions about the car documents. And at the end, she understood that she was there for another purpose. And they asked for her address and for our address. And they asked her to come to our house with her. And then they came to our house and they arrested both of us. They ransacked everywhere. They took all our belongings, like books, Bibles, Jesus movies, and all our personal belongings, and they took both of us to the security police. You know, after we got released, we heard that 2 months before we got arrested, the government was watching our activities, because we were traveling to Turkey many times a year for attending some Christian conferences. And they are so scared, I can say, about Christian activities, because it's more about power, and it's more about keeping their power. They think that you know, by keeping Islam and by forcing people to be a Muslim and forcing them to act like a Muslim, practice Islam, they can keep their power. And but we can see that these days, especially among young generation, there is a movement and more people are eager to hear about Christianity.
You were imprisoned 259 days. You were sentenced to death because of your Christian faith and your conversion and the work you were doing. You were young. I mean, you are young, but you were very young at the time. I mean, to be going through all of this, tell people that are listening right now, they've heard these stories that there's been more and more focus on Iran recently and some of the crackdown on Christianity. Tell people what it was like, and either of you can answer, or both of you. I think this is important for what prison is like. I know that in your book you describe it as you're no longer human, and that was before you even were at Evan Prison, but that you cease being a human and you are treated as if you're an animal.
Yes, I can say, you know, for the first week and especially the first day was very difficult for both of us. We were so scared because we are a human being and with all our weaknesses. And we were so scared, pale, and even sometimes we couldn't talk. And the only thing that we could do was praying because, as you told, their behavior was so brutal and humiliating. And they threatened us to torture, physical torture, several times. And the situation of Evin prison, I can say it's like hell. For 15 days, we were in detention, which was horrible. And we had very difficult times in that detention. And after 15 days, they sent us to another prison, which is Evin prison. And also, we spent about 38 days in 209, which is a separate building in Evin prison. And it's famous for physical and mental torturing. And we were being interrogated once a week for a long hours by two interrogators. And our situation was very difficult. And I can say about Evin prison that it was like hell. But we had very good opportunity there to talk with many prisoners and to share the good news of salvation with many prisoners. And we always tell people that this prison, despite all these difficulties, became our church.
We'll be back with more. Get the book today, Captive in Iran. You can get it at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and a number of other websites. Captive in Iran. We'll be right back talking to its authors.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge, the HHS mandate that forces employers to provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs in their insurance policies for employees, even if it violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed multiple lawsuits directly challenging this unprecedented attack on the religious and conscience rights of Americans. And the ACLJ is experiencing tremendous success. The ACLJ has a perfect record in obtaining court-ordered injunctions, putting the HHS mandate on hold while the issue is litigated. At the same time, the ACLJ is supporting other legal challenges by filing amicus briefs. Now you can join the legal fight too. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Folks, let's continue this very important conversation. We're talking to the authors of Captive in Iran, a true story of hope and triumph amid the horrors of Tehran's brutal Evin prison. Now, folks, we've talked a lot about Evin prison. Mariam and Marzia spent 259 days there. Let's get back to our discussion. And that is an important part of this because Iran thinks that they're stopping Christians. I think they do this. They try to say you don't want to end up like Sayyid Abedini, or you don't want to end up like Mariam or Marzia. You don't want to end up like this, so you better not tell people about what you believe and certainly don't pass out the scriptures. But then we hear the stories. We hear from people like you, and we've heard from others before. Is that why it's so important to write this book? Is that why, you know, I know a lot of people, they struggle with writing about these kind of experiences so quickly. You know, you were not released until 2010. You thought, and you knew that you had, were sentenced to death because of your faith. Did you write this for the Christians in Iran now? Is it for people here, people in the United States, to understand what's happening to Christians around the world and Christians in Iran, in your home?
Yes, we would like to. One of our main goal is to be a voice for voiceless people, because when we were in this prison, we experienced many bad things. We saw many injustice and cruelty, which affect us mentally. And they executed one of our best friends, and we saw many executions, some execution inside the prison. And, you know, part of our heart is still there, and we cannot forget our friends and which they are suffering in that dark place. And we promised some of our friends to be a voice for them, and because nobody can hear their voice. And also, as you know, there are some Christian still in this prison, like Sayyid Abedini, and also one of our friend Farshid Fathi. He's right. he was in this prison for 3 years, and he still should stay in this prison for three more years. And we know that situation, how much is difficult, and that's why we try to spread the message of our book in order to inform other nation what is going on in those countries and dark places like Evin prison in Iran.
You mentioned Sayyid Abedini, folks. We're talking to the authors of a new book. It comes out today. I think everybody has to get a copy of this. If you have gotten involved in these efforts to save Sayyid that we've been working on and followed his story, followed the letters that we've received, followed his wife, Naghmeh Abedini, talking about the situation with his imprisonment, his trial, his sentencing. The book is Captive in Iran. It's captiveiniran.com. It came out today. The authors are with us. They were imprisoned in the same prison that Sayyid is right now, Evin prison. They were there for 259 days, sentenced to death, both of them because of their Christian faith. Mariam and Marzia, who are joining us now. And you talked about Sayyid Abedini. Did you know Sayyid in the Christian community in Iran? Is it a tight-knit community that is working on these working on spreading the gospel?
Yes, I know Sayyid personally. I went to the same church that Sayyid did, and his wife is a good friend of mine, and I know them. We mentioned this yesterday in our interview that Sayyid is in prison, Farshid is in prison, and it's not just about these two precious men. And it's, you know, that there are many Christians, sure, that are in prison, in not just in Evin, in prisons in other cities of Iran. And as Marzia mentioned from the beginning, before starting writing our book, we prayed and asked God to help us to be a voice for these people who are still in suffering in those dark places. And we would like to encourage people to continue praying for them, to continue support them by sending letters. And this is very important, because when we were in prison, we were told by one of the guards in prison that we had about 40 to 50 letters each day from different parts of the world, from the Christians. Wow. And they were supporting us. And we could see that those letters had a great impact on the Iranian government. And after that, they started behaving us better, and they changed their behaviors. And just we would like to encourage people to continue sending letters to prisoners, to Faye, to Farshid. And we put the we put their names on a website, captiveiniran.com, and also with the address of Evin Prison. We really encourage people to send letters and also to continue praying for them. And, you know, we can see God's miracle these days, because last night we met with Senator Lindsey Graham, and he was so eager to help us to be a voice for these people, and he invited us to Washington next week to Senate to meet with 12 senators. And we would like to share more more about more of these stories about people who are suffering because of their faith. And it's not just about Christianity, as you know. Other religions also are in suffer, like Baha'is, Darawish, and also other people, political prisoners, and especially women in Iran who are the real victims of wrong rules of Islam. They don't have any hope. They don't have any freedom in Iran. And that's why we could talk to them, you know, and we could share when we were sharing the message of Christianity and what Jesus did on the cross for our sins. They were so open to hear, and they were so receptive.
Folks, the book is Captive in Iran, a remarkable true story of hope and triumph amid the horror of Tehran's brutal Evin prison. I don't want to give the whole book away. But I encourage everybody to get a copy of this today. You can go to captiveiniran.com. You can go to all the major websites to get it. My final question is this: your release. Do you know why? Did you know it was about to happen? And do you accredit, I know, prayer and, of course, your faith in God? But was it just not giving up? Were there moments when you could have given up? And I'll finish with this question. I want to save the rest for the book and for everybody out there to read it. But what was that like to be released, and did it just happen out of nowhere?
We believe that the first reason that we got released was God's grace. And the second reason, we believe that it's because of people's prayers. And as Mariam mentioned, it was very important that people sending us many letters. And also we heard that there were some international and influential organizations like Amnesty, United Nations, and even Pope from Vatican. They sent letters to Iranian government and talked to them, which was very good for our situation, and their behavior completely changed. And the Iranian government, they know that many people all around the world, they were watching them, and they were watching their cruelty, injustice, and that's why they had to release us in order to show that we have freedom in Iran, religious freedom in Iran, which is not true. And as you know, there are many Christians and other innocent people, they are still in this prison and suffer. And all these activities and all these things help us to get released.
Folks, I want you to get this book today, Captive in Iran, a remarkable true story of hope and triumph amid the horrors of Tehran's brutal Evin prison. We are going to put the links up so you can purchase the book on our Facebook, for American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ.org. The authors who've given us so much of their time today, and I thank them for that, Mariam and Marzia, thank you so much for what you're doing for the persecuted church in Iran, for telling your story, which is a brave thing to do, for speaking out, for putting this on paper so that people know the truth about the treatment of Christians in Iran. We continue to pray for the persecuted in Iran and pray for that they continue to have faith. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Go to captiveiniran.com. Get the book. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The ACLJ has a perfect record in obtaining court-ordered injunctions, putting the HHS mandate on hold while the issue is litigated. At the same time, the ACLJ is supporting other legal challenges by filing amicus briefs. Now you can join the legal fight too. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs. Call 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.